Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me in your Bibles, the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Book of Galatians, chapter 1. I want to start reading verse 6 through 10. And the Bible says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there is some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for clarity this morning in my words, that they speak to minds and hearts. Lord, that you speak the words of eternity to our lives today in this world that is dying. And Lord, I pray that you continue to build this church. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, we submit ourselves today. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the gospel? There was a survey done, and they surveyed Christians. And only 37% of the Christians knew what the gospel was. The gospel comes from a Greek word, which means good news. And the good news is that Jesus came, born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, and he rose again from the dead. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. That is what God is telling us. Now, there are four books in the Bible that present the gospel: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why four gospels? Why not six? Weren't there other books written? Yes, there was a book of Judas written that called itself a gospel. The problem with it, the book of Judas didn't talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection. He did mention him, but it talked about the excuse as to why Judas betrayed him. There was another book that was found, it's called the Gospel of Peter. The problem with it, the main emphasis wasn't about the gospel of Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin, who lived a sinless life, who died on the cross, and who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and is seated upon the right hand of God the Father. It was a book that was written predominantly against the Jews. And here's what the Bible is saying. And there are four gospels, and we believe that is taken from Revelation, where there are the four beasts that are standing there, the four pillars of the church, one with the head of an oxen, one with the head of a man, one with the head of an eagle, and one with the head of a lion. And when you look at Jesus Christ, you see him in all four sections. You look at Matthew, and you see him this way. And you look at Mark, and you see him this way. And you look at Luke, and you see him from this side. And you look at John, and you see him head on as the Son of God. You see him as fulfilling the scripture of the Jews. You see him as the Son of God. You see him as a man. And you see all four. And this brings us together with the gospel. Don't get confused in thinking, well, you know, this was just compiled by men. It was compiled by God and fit together by God. Now, in order to understand what the gospel is, you need to understand who Jesus Christ is. And the Bible says this, that God has put eternity in man's heart. So every man is craving eternity. We all crave to live longer. We have that desire in our heart to live forever. And there's something inside of every man. That's why I don't hesitate to talk to an atheist about Christ. Because there is something inside of every man that is craving eternity through Jesus Christ. God put that in us. You know, I was out riding a bicycle the other day, and I had a craving for water. I really wanted something to drink. And you know something? You could have offered me a steak or a bottle of water, and I would have taken the bottle of water. Because we have a tendency, when we crave something, that God has provided it for us. And God has provided Jesus Christ for us. And the gospel is clear. So I believe that every man is seeking him. And when you see who he is and you accept him into your life, it's like a curtain has been opened up. In other words, you're in this dark side of the world where everyone is dying, everything is dying, jobs are being lost, things are being lost, weeds are taking over. It seems like everything in this world and everything in this world does grow old and die. I went past where the school that I went for 8 years used to be, and it's torn down. I drove down Reynolds Road to Conant Street to the mall that Terry and I, when we moved here, we lived right beside that mall. And we would climb the fence with the kids and we'd go over and walk through the mall. It's not there any longer. It's been torn down and gone. But when we see Jesus Christ and we see him in his eternity, it's like a curtain is opened up. And now, instead of the world being black and white, it's full color. And our values change. Some people say, I've tried being a Christian and it's too hard. It isn't hard when you see who Jesus Christ is and you see what eternity is. Your values just normally change. You're no longer renting a house where you can be evicted any time, where when God says it's over, your heart's going to stop, you're going to die. But you now have an eternal home that you own that's yours. So you are building eternal values. You are giving to eternal values. You are walking in eternal values. I'd never put a roof on a rented house. I'd be selfish. I wouldn't go in and replumb a rented house. I'd be selfish. But when it's my house, I'll put the roof on it. When it's my house, I'll put the plumbing in it. And when we see that we have an eternal life, we start investing in eternal values. Not just our money, I'm talking about our time and what we're given to. So when you see the gospel of Jesus Christ, everything changes. The Bible says we can't add to the gospel. Somebody says, I have a new idea. What Jesus did wasn't enough. You got to do what Jesus says, then you got to do what I say. And those are guys like Muhammad and some others. This isn't enough. We got to add to it. You know what the Bible says? If you add to it, you're cursed. We do not add to nor detract from. The Bible is clear. The Gospels are pure, and we are to abide within them. It all comes down to submitting. Not committing. I can say, Michael, the youth are going on a youth trip. I will commit $20. That's a commitment. I still have 40 in my hand. But I say, you know, I'm going to surrender to help those kids go on a youth trip. I'm going to surrender. Surrender, I give all. We don't make a commitment to Christ. We surrender to Christ. We give everything to him. And when you see, when the curtain opens, you can see that we totally belong to him. It is not a hard decision to make. It isn't a decision that we've got to fight with ourselves over. We have submitted ourselves to an eternal being. So we don't add to the gospel, nor do we detract from the gospel. What I mean is, I saw a guy on television the other day. He was a preacher. It didn't matter what verse he talked about, it went to money. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave people. You need to give. I mean, you need to dig deep and you need to send to me so that you can be blessed, shaken down, you know, pressed together. So you move on to another. And the scripture, doesn't matter what scripture he was talking about, came around to money. You know what he was doing? He was twisting the gospel. He was making the gospel say something that it didn't say for his own benefit. Here's what I believe, and I believe this with all my heart. If I do my job as a pastor, and I can teach you and preach to you about the submission unto Christ, I never have to preach on money. I don't have to preach on getting jobs done in the church. When jobs aren't getting done in the church, it's because people have stepped back. And when people step back, I blame me more than I blame anybody else. Because there's something that I have not been preaching, or people would grow and they would continue to step forward. And they would continue to do. Now, we are a very busy church. Why are we a busy church? Because of the fact that our people are willing to step forward and do. I don't know that there's any other churches that cook for this many people in Toledo as we do every Wednesday night. I mean, that is a commitment. If you think not, you work in that kitchen with those men. That is not playtime. That is work time. I mean, you peel how many eggs? My goodness, 100 eggs? You dip, Sue, you were dipping chicken. Your hands get sore. You peeled eggs too? Okay. The Johnsons are out here week after week mowing the grass, taking care of the yard. Loopy and Scott come out, water the flowers and plant the flowers. We have people doing things. Why? Because that means we're growing. It isn't the numbers here. It's good to see a good number of people here today. It's September. That's usually our lowest month of the year. I don't want to tell you that. You'll miss next week. But for the last 30 years, September's been our lowest month. It's not going to be this year. We're going to change that. But the gospel, you don't add to it. It isn't about building an earthly kingdom. It's about building the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, when you see the church, when you see yourself in as an eternal person, everything will change and everything you do will change and all your values will change. Because you know you're living forever. I don't like to see fights in a church. And I'm glad that we don't see them here. Do we debate? Do we discuss? Yes, we debate and we discuss. But you know what? It comes down to a unity. I'm trying to think if we've ever had somebody got mad and left because they didn't get their way. I'm sure we have. Just I don't dwell on that. But if you don't get your way on the way a light is, and you say that you're leaving because God told you to leave because you didn't get the light you wanted, God didn't tell you to leave. You're leaving because you're trying to build an earthly kingdom, not a heavenly kingdom. I don't always get my way. Most of the time. It isn't about what color the carpet is. It isn't about whether the church builds a shed or doesn't build a shed. It isn't about where we play golf, on which golf course, or what bowling alley we use. Building the kingdom of God is about eternal things. The other things I was talking about are about unity, learning to work together. And when you work together, you're going to rub each other the wrong way once in a while. That's fine. But the unity in Christ, when we're eternal, we don't get offended at that. Because it's eternal. My dad, before he died, many years before he died, my dad had a brother. My dad and his brother seemed to be in competition with one another. And my dad's brother sold cars. My dad was a Christian, his brother wasn't a Christian. My dad bought several cars from him. Was his best friend the year he bought a car from him. When he didn't buy a car from him, he didn't like my dad at all. Wouldn't come to the house, wouldn't speak to him. Talk bad about him to his brothers and sisters. The rest of the family lived out in Canton, Ohio. Till Dad said one day, and I remember he was probably 70 years old, 75. He just threw his hands down on the table and said, I am done with him. I don't want nothing to do with him again. And I didn't tell this when my dad was living. But I sat down with Dad and I said, Dad, your brother's the youngest one in the family, isn't he? Yeah. I said, you love your mother. She was a saint, Bobby. She was a saint. I said, yeah, I'm sure she was. I said, do you think that Grandma would want her baby to be saved and be a Christian and see him in heaven? Said she loved him. Yeah. I said, what are you doing about that? My dad went to my uncle. They made peace. And Dad decided no matter what my uncle did, that he was going to love him. Because getting him to heaven was more important than how they treated each other on earth. My uncle got saved. His wife got saved. And when my dad had Alzheimer's, my uncle was one that he remembered, and he came every week and he sat and he talked with my dad. See, Dad didn't have to wait to heaven to get the reaping of that. What I'm telling you is, it doesn't matter what's going on in your family, it doesn't matter what's going on in your home, what's going on in your workplace, God is more concerned about getting people to heaven than you getting your way. And the gospel is about Jesus Christ. It isn't about you. It isn't about church doctrine. It isn't about where we take a stand. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus is love. And he went out and he reached beyond himself. And when we are like him, and we are like him if we are a Christian, and we step into the gospel of Christ, it produces real life. The gospel of grace is the only message that has a power to save and the power to heal. We want to argue about this political position or that political position, or should a Christian do this or should a Christian do that. Let me tell you what a Christian ought to do. A Christian ought to love other Christians. The Bible says a Christian ought to love, Jesus ate with those who were sinners. We ought to love the sinners. And the Bible says that you ought to love those who are your enemies. My goodness, I can't hate anybody. That's right. You can't. And if you understand eternity, you can see, live in a life that's filled with living color. Red, yellow, orange, blue, indigo, violet, all of them, instead of a black and white dying world. That's the gospel. It's simple. But we add to it. We add our legalism to it. We add our personal convictions to them. You know what? I've been around for 40 years pastoring, and I've seen people's convictions change. If they change, it wasn't a conviction. I remember I went to a minister's convention and there were 5,000 ministers there. And the preacher that was preaching, he said, when you step into the pulpit, men ought to have white shirts on. You shouldn't wear wire-rimmed glasses. They're things of the world. And women need to have dresses on down to their knees. 5,000 preachers went home and preached the gospel of dressing. Men couldn't have hair over their ears. We need to build something. You know what he's building? An earthly kingdom where everybody looked like they're everybody else, but it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. I said to someone this morning, if you got this much Christianity, live it. If you've got this much, live it. And if you've got this much, live it. But if you've got this much and you act like this much, you're going to lose your kids. If you got this much that's real and you act like it's this much, you're going to lose your friends because you are a hypocrite. Live where you're at. If you have this much faith, live with this much faith. Don't mess around about it. Be honest about it. And God will increase that faith and let it grow. Anything else, we just look like we're faking it. And the gospel says we're not to fake anything. It's supposed to be about Jesus Christ. Gospel needs no additions. Distorting the gospel, the Bible says you'll be accursed. Remember the group Heaven's Gate? They were going to catch Halley's Comet when it went by, remember? They put a bunch of quarters in their hands and committed suicide. Remember Jim Jones? He was building the utopia, an earthly kingdom. The Bible says you're accursed. We know what happened to them. 900 and some drank Kool-Aid with poison and died. The gospel will set you free. But make sure when you listen to the gospel, you're listening to just the gospel, not some man adding to it or some person taking away from it. The gospel can save men from their sins. In the church, we talk a whole lot about sin. Oh, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. You know what I found? When a person is in Christ, you don't have to talk a whole lot about it because you're not trying to get that easy fix, that quick high, that quick thrill. You're dealing with eternity. If I'm going from my house to the mall, I may ride my bike, and I may stop a couple times. But if I'm going to my house from Florida, I have other values. I stop when the car runs out of gas. That's when we eat and we go on, because we got a long way to go. And when your values are set on eternity, your eye is set upon Jesus, and the Bible says Jesus' eye was set like a flint towards Calvary. And he didn't waver one way or the other. And we're the same way. We're not looking for the quick fix, the easy high. We're seeing eternity. And we're trying to build something for eternity. I've told my kids and I've told my grandkids, if I had the habits of the world, I couldn't help them make it through the world. But because I don't have those, I have that extra money that I can use in order to help. Why? Because my value isn't on the biggest house that I can have. My value is on something else. And yours is too. Because the gospel, the Bible says, I marvel that you are turned away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. It is perfect, just the way God gave it. He came. He lived. He died. He rose again. And he ascended into heaven and is seated upon the right hand of God the Father. Preacher, are you sure about that? I'm sure about that. I saw people die with him. I've seen people's lives change with him. I see their view change when they see him. So there's no doubt in my mind. I have doubt that there's ice on Mars. They haven't found any water between here and Mars. I don't know how it got there. I have a lot of doubts, but I don't doubt Jesus Christ. Let us stand. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you. You not only breathe this world into space and you breathe life into Adam and Eve, but you breathe life into me. When we accepted you through the power of your Spirit, we know that you're real because you have made yourself real to each one of us. And you walk with me and you talk with me and you tell me I'm your own. And the voice that I hear falling on my ear is yours. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, help us never to compromise. There's a whole doctrine out there today that believes that just everybody's saved. But Lord, that's not the way you taught it. You said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Lord, I know, I've looked around the world. No one can see that curtain pulled back and see heaven and see your kingdom without being born again. And if we can't see that, we're just here churning our wheels, building an earthly kingdom. Lord, we want to be about our Father's business. Let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that can only be done when we see who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.